Well, I'm sure we already know that the technology today is something else, and we have cell phones that we all put on mute, especially when services begin. Got to make sure I turn mine off. You know, sometimes it's embarrassing when you realize it, you tell everybody else to turn off theirs, and then you realize you still have yours on. So, but we can text others in a matter of seconds. We can view live news that's occurring all over the world and then share it immediately with our Facebook friends. It seems we're connected to other people as never before. The question we have, though, is how connected are we to God? If we think about it, we have direct access to His throne of mercy every moment of our lives. All we need to do is talk to Him. The question is, how much do we access the throne of mercy? How much do we talk to Him? Let's notice Proverbs 15, verse 8. Proverbs 15 and verse 8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. God's delight is listening to our prayers. Now notice verse 29, Proverbs 15, verse 29. In the same chapter here, we see that the Lord is far from the wicked, but He hears the prayers of the righteous. That's encouraging that He hears. He delights in them. He listens to the righteous. Now, of course, none of us are perfect. We are humans. We're not perfect yet. That'll happen at the time of our resurrection. But we are going on toward perfection. And we are trying to become righteous in our lives. So we haven't rejected God. And we're not practicing wickedness. So God hears us. And so when we talk to God, we have a direct, open channel to the great God who sits on His throne. So we need to ask the question again, how connected are we to God? Do we access God's throne? Do we talk to Him on a regular basis? Today, what I'd like to do is review the topic of prayer and review what God wants to hear from our conversations with Him. And the title of the sermon is All About Prayer. Let's go into three basic aspects of prayer first before we get into some specifics, but some aspects. And let's ask the question, when? When should we pray? Let's look at Psalm 55. Psalm 55. We see an indication here of the man of God, King David, man after God's own heart. And notice what he writes here in Psalm 55, verse 16 to 17. He says, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me." So he acknowledged that God would save him. "Evening, morning, and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and He will hear my voice." Now, King David was a very busy man. I think we would all acknowledge that it would take a lot of time and effort to run a kingdom. You know, he had the whole government of Israel to look after. And he wrote all this music. And yet he still found time every single day to pray to God. And he believed that one must do what is found over here in verse 22. It's what he believed. Verse 22, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and He shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved." It's one thing we all need to understand is that God is there and He understands us more than any other human being does. Now, we can empathize, we can sympathize with people. And so when we read here in verse 22, here in Psalm 55, that we're to cast our burden on the Lord, He will sustain you, because God knows our situation. He knows exactly where we are. He knows our thinking. He knows our thoughts. He knows what we're fighting against. And he also knows where we need encouragement. And we could tell him anything about anything. And God hears us. King David knew that. So we should be talking to God at least every single day. Don't let a day go by without talking to God. Now some have said, well, I'm too busy. I got too many things to do. I just don't have the time. Well, that happened to be a title of a poem written years ago. The author of the poem is anonymous. We don't know who wrote it, but the following is a quote from part of that poem. And I quote from this poem. I woke up early this morning and jumped right into my day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't take time to pray. Troubles just tumbled about me and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me, I wondered. But he said, you didn't ask. So I woke up early this morning. I paused before entering my day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time and pray. Unquote. That tells us something. Because you see, it doesn't matter, no matter how busy we are, if we don't take time to pray to God and talk to him, things just get worse. The day does not go as well as if it would if we would pray. Now, some have told me that, well, I pray to God in my car on the way to work. Well, it's not wrong to talk to God, but, you know, there's traffic signals you got to watch for. You got to watch for the crazies driving around. And you can't bow your head because you got to look at the traffic. It's not wrong to talk to God while you're driving, but you should be talking to God in private earlier. You should have been in prayer sometime during the day. Talk to God. So to answer the question of when, should be daily, every single day. King David gave that example. All right, where do we pray? That's the next thing we're going to look at. Where? Matthew 6, verse 5. Matthew 6 and verse 5. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, you go to your room. When you've shut your door, you pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So where do we pray? In a private place. The admonition is in a private place, such as a bedroom or somewhere away from others. Helps us to focus on God. To focus on what we want to talk to him about. Notice Luke 5. Luke 5 and verse 16. And we see this example of Jesus Christ. And what did he do? Luke 5 verse 16, it says, so here he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. So he withdrew from the other disciples and he was able to pray. Sometimes praying outside in a private place is unique. It's different to just be outside and pray. I know that during the feast when we were in Squaw Valley for many years, with all the students around, there are lots of big mountains out there, so you'd go up a little ways up onto a mountain, find a rock or a large tree, and it was good, but it was also hazardous because there were other students trying to find a place, and somebody behind a rock, and you didn't know that they were there, and you start praying, you're kind of watching around, making sure nobody's going to bump into you, but I think there are times when if you can get away privately somewhere, that's important. So to answer the question, where? Private place. How? How do you pray? Let's look at Daniel 6, verse 10. Daniel 6, verse 10. Daniel 6 and verse 10. He knew that the writing was signed. He went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem. Sorry, he's in Babylon, Persia, which is toward the east, and he's now praying toward Jerusalem. And so he has his windows open, but he's praying, and notice how he's praying. He knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. He'd been praying since he was a young man even. So we're talking about a habit that he developed. It's always good to be teaching our children how to pray. You show them how to pray. Both knees. You know, sometimes you'll see somebody kneeling before a king or a queen. They'll often do it just on one knee, one bended knee. But before God, we pray on both of our knees. Now, what happens if you're handicapped and you can't kneel on both your knees? Now, I believe God knows that. He sees that. He's very much aware of that. And yet one, I believe, should still try to be in a private place and alone when you pray. And if you can't get down on our knees, we can find, ourselves in a difficult situation, and God will still hear us. As in the prayer of Cyrus Brown by Sam Foss. I want to quote from this prayer. It's called Cyrus Brown. And I quote from this prayer here. The proper way for a man to pray, said Deacon Keyes, is to be down upon his knees. Yea, I say, the way to pray, said Dr. Wise, is standing straight with outstretched arms and upturned eyes. Oh, no, 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 said Elder Snow. Such posture is too proud. A man should pray with his eyes closed and head contritely bowed. Well, it seems to me that his hand should be Cyrus Brown, head first, with my heels a-sticking up and my head a-pointed down. And I made a prayer right then and there, the best prayer I ever said a-standing on my head. Unquote. It doesn't matter where the situation is. You might find yourself in a very difficult situation. God still hears. But if you do have opportunity, and not with any handicaps, it's good to kneel on our knees before God. It shows a sign of humility. We're honoring God. Now, another question in the how aspect is how long? How do you pray as much as possible on your knees, but time? How long a prayer should be, you don't see that it should be a certain amount of time. You look through the Bible and you see a number of brief prayers by King David. You also see long prayers given by Daniel and others. It has been suggested that one cannot have a full, meaningful relationship with God if we only pray just a couple of minutes at a time. Yes, it's important that we're praying, but our prayer should be longer than just a few couple of minutes. But we shouldn't get so time conscious that we got the clock right there and we're constantly looking at the clock to see, oh man, I got 10 more minutes to go. What am I going to say? And the clock it hasn't moved. And we're looking at the clock instead of talking to God. The thing, though, is that we don't want to just have a short little prayer. There's times when we can have short little prayers, and they are effective, very effective. But other times we need to talk to God more often. The point is, God wants to hear from us. He wants us to develop a good relationship with Him. And that means we need to spend just more than just a couple of minutes a day. Now that brings us then to the next point, and that is, what do we say? what do we say? Before we get into some specifics, let's notice Revelation 5 and verse 8. Revelation 5 and verse 8, so that we understand how God views what is brought before him. Revelation 5 and verse 8. And now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Golden bowls full of incense. That incense are our prayers. Now think about what's coming before the throne of God. What aroma is coming before God? Their prayers. They are in these bowls of incense. That's how God views our prayers, and they are incense to him. Now think about incense for a moment as to what took place before the Ark of the Covenant. Let's look at the sacrifice that took place in the offerings that took place on the Day of Atonement in Leviticus 16. Let's notice something here in Leviticus 16, verse 12 to 13. Leviticus 16, verse 12 to 13. Now we must remember that in the Old Testament, the Ark was behind the veil. And the Ark represented, had the mercy seat on top of the Ark. And God's presence was there. And then before the Ark, you had the veil. And right in front of that veil was the altar of incense. And there was incense that was being produced from the burning what was on the altar. Let's look at this. Leviticus 16, verse 12. And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from the altar before the Lord with his hands full of sweet incense. Sweet incense beaten fine. And bring it inside the veil. And he shall put the incense on the fire before the Lord, and the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the testimony, lest he die. Now that's what Aaron was supposed to do. Beaten fine means beaten into small articles and kind of like a refining. Our prayers before God are supposed to be like this. Now, notice what the incense included. Because it included a couple of different ingredients. Exodus 30. Let's look at Exodus 30, verse 34. Exodus 30, verse 34. And the Lord said to Moses, take sweet spices, and they're listed there. And notice Stacte and the others there, pure frankincense. And with these sweet spices, there shall be equal amounts of each. So you got these different spices. You shall make of these an incense, a compound, according to the the guy that puts this all together, okay? Salted, pure and holy, and you shall beat some of it very fine. You shall put some of it before the testimony in the ark of the meeting where I will meet with you, and it will be most holy to you. But as for the incense which you shall not make any for yourselves according to its composition. It shall be to you holy for the Lord. Holy for the Lord. So what they did is they took these spices and put them all together in equal amounts, and they beat it very fine. So you have a lot of different, let's say, ingredients here, and they're all being put together very fine, and that was the incense that went before the Ark of the Covenant, which symbolized the throne of God. Are our prayers like that? You know, are they inclusive of different ingredients such as what we say? Are there things that we can, is it just one thing that we're talking about in our prayers? Or does it include a number of, let's say, discussions with God? Or just one discussion? See, it has to include a lot more thinking on our part, what we want to talk to God about. And see, God, as we've already seen, God wants to hear from us. And so let's look at Luke 11 to answer the question, what do we say? What do we say? Luke 11 in verse 1. Luke 11 verse 1. Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. That's interesting to note. Here is a request from his disciples. Help us to pray. See, because John the Baptist had already taught his disciples how to pray. So they were already praying, John the Baptist's disciples. So one of Christ's disciples now said, Lord, would you teach us how to pray? What should we be saying in our prayers? And we begin to see an outline. We begin to see some ideas and suggestions that we could bring about in our prayers. I mean, we could add our own thoughts, of course. But here are seven different topics we should be discussing with God. And we see in verse 2, so he said unto them, when you pray, say. When you pray, here are some things to discuss. The first one is, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So when we come before God, and Jesus Christ is telling us to whom we pray, is to the Father. And we honor God. We glorify God. We thank him for calling us. We thank him for all the blessings he's given to us. He is the true, wonderful, and great, mighty God. And he's the God that only has been the only God. There are no other gods. And so we praise him for, and thanking him for making us his children, for giving us a calling. I mean, lots of praise. This is what King David did. Let's keep our place there in Luke, and let's look at Psalm 18. Psalm 18, and you begin to see when you read a number of the Psalms how many times he has honored God, and he's praised the Father. And this is just one of many. Psalm 18. And if you look at the heading here, and this is also found in 2 Samuel 22, it was to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of God, who spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. So it was a psalm of thanksgiving, a prayer of thanksgiving. And notice what David said. And he said, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. So he honored God as a God of his strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so I shall be saved from my enemies. So he added a lot more things here in his discussion with God. But notice in verse 6, in my distress I called upon the Lord, cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. There's nothing wrong with saying, God, thank you for listening. Thank you for hearing me. I know you hear me. Some have mentioned to me, sometimes I wonder if my prayers just reach the ceiling and then don't go any further. That's not a right way to be thinking. We got to be thinking that our prayers go beyond the ceiling and go directly to the throne of God as incense to him. And we're acknowledging that he's hearing us. He's blessing us. And we have the opportunity to talk to the great creator. And what astonishes me is how he can listen to somebody, fully listen to somebody praying here and then someone else over here at the same time, over there at the same time. And he has full understanding of what's being said by everyone at the same time. And only God can do that. It's phenomenal. So it's very important what Jesus Christ said to do is to go before God, honor him. Our prayer is going to him, as we see back here in Luke 11. Now, we then get into the topics as they are in priority. There's a specific outline here, and you see that God says we honor him. And then notice the next statement in verse 2, Luke 11, verse 2. Your kingdom come. We pray for the kingdom to come. I don't know how these families are dealing with the tragedy that happened in Paris. And they don't know the truth like we do. How are they coping? I can't imagine it. I just can't imagine. I can't imagine that all the Parisian Jews are leaving the city. It's like 100,000 people. Where are they going? This is in 2015. Jewish families are leaving Paris because of the persecutions that are going on. What are they doing? You know, when is the kingdom going to come? How much famine is around? How much heartache are people suffering and going through? And so what we're doing is we're setting up our priorities straight. First, we honor God, then we talk about his coming kingdom. We're emphasizing and seeking the need for the kingdom of God. I mean, we can think of a new thing every day to consider about his coming kingdom, so it doesn't always have to be the same. I mean, we could talk about, you know, that in the future there will be no more crime. In the future there will be no more health problems. You know, people will be totally healed. In the future, there'll be everyone cooperating. No more relationship problems. Pray thy kingdom come. That's what Jesus Christ tells us to do. Pray thy kingdom come. Now notice point number 3 here. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done. Now that also is including the time when the kingdom will come, when God's will be done on earth. We understand that. But right now, we're all part of God's church, and we're trying to do what God wants us to do in the church. And we want God's will done in the church. And that God will direct all of us in his church. That God will guide us to do the right things. That his will would be done in our lives as well. And that his will would be done within the church. And so we pray for the leadership, and each one within the church and within the local congregations. This is where we can take time to pray for those in the church, for various aspects of whatever is going on. And again, each day can be a little different. It just takes a little forethought. It's just a little different than maybe the reasons we said the day before. One day we could talk and ask God to just guide the ministerial leadership. Another day we could ask for peace and protection among all of his members in South America. Another day, maybe, you know, the people who are suffering from, you know, deaths in their families, that God would comfort them. Another thing we could ask God is that he could be with an individual whomever needs the prayers, that his will would be done. I mean, just think of all the various topics we can talk about to God about, that his will be done on earth and that he guides and directs us. There's so many things we can talk about. Point number four is found in verse 3. Give us day by day our daily bread. See, notice that day by day. It isn't, well, okay, I'm going to pray on Sunday to give me the bread for the week. You know, that way you don't have to ask, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You know, it's just a one-shot deal. You know, pray on Sunday. No, God says day by day. You ask him every single day. This phrase consists of the daily needs that we need to ask God about. We are so blessed in this country with food. I mean, every time you sit down and eat, it is such a blessing to have the food that we have. We're blessed with clothing. We're blessed with shelter. Every time you turn on the water and you have running water or hot water in a shower, how many people do not have that? How many things has God blessed us with? And when we talk to God about our own individual situation, let's say we're facing a job situation, a difficulty at work, you know, with our boss or a coworker. This is where we could ask God for some help, for our children's health, for protection, whatever it may be, for our own health, whatever family situations are there, even personal family arrangements and things like that. Give us this day daily bread, as it says in Matthew, but here it's give us day by day our daily bread. You know, our needs, what we need to get through the day. And encouragement. Sometimes we need to be encouraged. You know, that God would just encourage us. Next point is in verse 4. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us our sins. You know, none of us are perfect. We all fall short. And we need to take time to evaluate what we need to do to change and to ask God to clear the slate. And one of the things that I think all of us who went to school remember is the blackboard in the morning was all clean from the day before. It had all been washed off from the day before. It was clean blackboard, clean slate you begin before any chalk went on the blackboard for that day. It's kind of a clean slate. That's what we are asking God to do. Forgive us. Oh man, I shouldn't have said it that way the other day. Shouldn't have said that yesterday, or I shouldn't have thought it that way. So you ask God, forgive me, God. Give me a good, clean slate. Let me start today fresh in your eyes. And forgive me for my sins. Forgive me for doing that, you know, thinking that stupid thing or saying it in such a way like that. And so we're evaluating that. And we're asking God for a fresh start. You know what that does? Helps us remain in a humble attitude, helps us remain in a repentant attitude, that we're always asking God to help us. You know, because we can't do it on our own. We need him to help us. All right, then we get to point number 6. And this is found here in verse 4. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Got to make sure we're not holding any grudges. And there are so many scriptures that says if we have anything against someone, we need to get it cleared up before we offer our gifts to the on the altar. In other words, what God is saying is We got to forgive others. We got to ask God to help us move forward. Sometimes we are burdened down with so much what we would call yoke. I call it a yoke of bondage. When you can't get out of that, and it can be removed if you just forgive the person. You know, oftentimes, and this was brought out in Acts, that had the leaders known what they were doing to the Lord Jesus Christ, they would not have crucified him. But they did not know. And if someone really knew what they were doing, they wouldn't do it. And that's the way it is in probably 99.9% of cases. People don't really realize what they're doing. If they did know what they were doing, they wouldn't do it. And so we have to forgive. And you go forward. You forgive. It doesn't mean you have, in some cases, it may not be a total reconciliation, but you forgive. And you say, I'm not going to let that burden tear me away from God. I'm not going to. What this does is, when you forgive, it removes this yoke of revenge, getting back to somebody. It's interesting. God says to do this every day. When we pray, we ask Him to forgive us, and we ask to forgive others. We also forgive everyone who's indebted to us. And if it's difficult to do, you say, God, I need you to help me forgive and go forward. And I mean, we'll get into sermons in the future on how to do that. You know, it does take a lot of willpower and a lot of God's help to go forward in some circumstances. And so we ask God to do that. We ask God to help us go forward. In whatever situation it can come, that comes upon us. All right, point number seven, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This should be ongoing. Don't lead us into temptation. You know, we are tempted when we are drawn away after our own lusts. So it says there in James, and we need to make sure that we ask God to keep us from Satan and the evil influences that are out there. That God would place His angels about us. God would just protect us. That God would keep us from the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. That God would keep us from sinning. That God would help us, that if we are going off into this direction, that He would somehow stir up our mind to say, don't go that way. Stop. And we ask God to help us to say, no, I am not going to go further into that. I'm going to take that thought, and as we talked about one other time, you take that thought and you put it into the prison so it doesn't affect the rest of the brain. You put it into captivity to the will of Jesus Christ. And you ask God, help me, God. Don't let me be tempted. You look at the world around us. You can't help but see what the world is doing. And it is temptation after temptation that is out there constantly. And Satan picks on our weaknesses. He does not pick on our strengths. He always knows what our weaknesses are, and He'll pick on that. That's why we got to ask God to strengthen us and help us so that we are not tempted. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. God would help us that way. We need His help to be truthful. We need His help to be honest. We need His help to be loyal. And this is where we ask God, I need your guidance. I need your help. God would keep us from getting depressed and discouraged. That's what we're facing a lot. A lot of discouragement, a lot of frustration. And Satan's very clever on that. He'll get people all discouraged and frustrated to the point of Oh, what's the use? Satan does not want us to stay close to God. He does not want us to pray to God. And so therefore, when we find a day or so going by that we haven't talked to God for some time, we've got to get back to Him very quickly. Because guess who's going to have the upper hand? The devil. That's what happens. So it's very important that we look at what Jesus Christ is telling us here. We're asking God to put a hedge around us. Why not? Why can't we ask God to do that? To put a hedge around us. To put a hedge around us of protection. To put a hedge around us of, from the evil influences of the devil. And it goes into, kind of ties into the beginning of the prayer with honoring our Father in heaven and thanking God for all that He has done for us. These are the topics that we can bring up with God. Just as the ancient Israelites had to put in all the various spices and beat them fine so it would be this refreshing aroma before the Ark of the Covenant, our prayers can have all of these thoughts and ideas and discussion topics, and where we've put them and we've together in a, you know, real fine and detailed and talking to God. And then what are we to do? Well, let's go to Ephesians 5:20. After we've talked to God, after we've included these comments, Ephesians 5:20. Notice what we're to do. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask all things in the name of Jesus Christ. That's why we ask, at the end of the prayers, we ask all in the name of Jesus Christ. We say amen, too. Amen means so be it. So that what we have said, we're all asking in the name of Jesus Christ, and we say amen, that we tell God, so be what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying to you. And amen has a finality of it, that it's all gone through Jesus Christ, and this is the incense that has just gone up to the Father. And it's in the bowls there before His throne. Jesus Christ is very loving to us, and He's our intercessor as well. Notice while we're in Ephesians, let's look at Ephesians 2 verse 18. Ephesians 2 verse 18. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. So Jesus Christ is our high priest. We have direct access to the throne of God, and it is through Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, they had the veil, and no one could go behind the veil except one time on the Day of Atonement. Now, because when Jesus Christ died, that veil ripped in two, we have access to the throne of mercy, but we go through Jesus Christ as our high priest. And so we are able to access God's throne through what Jesus Christ has done for us. And notice over here in Romans 8, verse 33 to 35, and here we find that He helps us even more than we realize. Jesus Christ does. Romans 8, verse 33. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? So we have Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father, who's lived a human life. And He's gone through all the temptations that we are going through. He never sinned, but He understands the human condition. And He intercedes for us to the Father. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Distress? frustration, discouragement, difficulties, persecution, famine, nakedness, or peril, or sword. What separates us from the love of Christ? Nothing does. Because He's always there interceding for us day after day after day. Of course, as our prayers go before the Father, He's there explaining, talking. They discuss things. And again, it'll be interesting to find out how they are actually able to do this for everybody they listen to. And they can do it because they're God, you know, God and is God and Jesus Christ is a high priest. We cannot let days go by without contact with God. We need to take time to talk to Him. We've got to tell Him our thoughts. As I mentioned, He is the only one who is truly, truly understanding of the situations we're in. He's the only one. And we could tell Him anything. We could talk to Him about our requests. We can praise Him for His mercy, which none of us could survive if we didn't have the mercy of God. And finally, let's look at an example of one of David's many prayers, and because within it we see something else that David understood, and we'll see that even though he did not know what it said in Luke, because he was, you know, he lived much earlier than Jesus Christ gave these instructions, he did follow some of the items that were listed. Psalm 145. We won't read the whole psalm, but we'll look at certain aspects of it and see what he did talk to God about and what he prayed about. And it kind of gives us another sample and of his prayers. Psalm 145, verse 1. I will extol you, my God, O King. I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you. I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. So notice how he starts? He honors God. He's praising God. And he's mentioning it every day. I will bless you and praise you. Notice verse 5. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty, on your wondrous works. It's all part of praising God. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They will utter the memory of your great goodness, and shall sing of your righteousness. Now, this is a time in the future when all peoples will eventually sing of God's righteousness and declare His greatness. Again, that's the time of the future, which we all pray will come when the kingdom of God is on the earth. Notice verse 10. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They'll speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power. That's what we're doing even now. We pray that the kingdom of God will come to make known of the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your dominion endures throughout all generations. Thy kingdom come is the priority of our prayers. And we look forward to that more than anything. And yet David is mentioning that right here in this particular psalm. Notice verse 15. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. So again, when we talk about our daily bread, guess what he recognized? You give them their food in due season. He acknowledged that God was the one who gave him food. And you open your hand. You satisfy the desires of every living thing. And these are positive aspects that David had while he prayed. And then notice verse 17. through the rest of the chapter here. The Lord is righteous in all of his ways. He's glorious in all of his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. I think we have to recognize that God is there and near to us, and he is not far off. Sure, he resides in the third heaven, but we have that access, that direct access between here on earth and in the third heavens, which is how many trillions of light years away. And we have that immediate access to the Father. He hears you. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He'll hear their cry and save them. God hears. Now that's a promise, and that's a blessing. He hears. The Lord preserves all who love him. The wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. Eventually, God will save all those who repent and seek after him. So as we continue to patiently endure to the end and we have constant contact with our friends through all these devices, we cannot forget to remain close to God and stay close to God and take time to talk to God in regular daily prayers to him.